Good afternoon, this is Croft Woodruff with another edition of Dynamic Health here on CFRO FM at 102.7 on the FM band. And continuing with our AIDS, HIV/AIDS series, we are going to be welcoming a lady who many years ago was diagnosed as being HIV positive, even though she did not fit into any of the categories or risk factors that would make her at risk to be HIV positive. And it's kind of coincidental that this past weekend we had a series of articles, mainly the Vancouver Sun, about a medical doctor who is now off the medical register, but sometime, I guess he's in his 70s, he's had unprotected sex with many male homosexuals, and he didn't tell them that he himself was HIV positive. And of course, when we look at some of the anomalies that are going on here and the contradictions, this is a very interesting situation. We have the case of a black man who was given 15-year sentence a year ago here in British Columbia for having unprotected sex with several ladies without informing them that he was HIV positive. Interestingly enough, it did come out in the trial that not all of these women, even though they had sex unprotected with this HIV positive man, they not all of them themselves became HIV positive. And then finally, we have also a Saskatchewan Rough Riders football player, a black man, Travis Smith, that's T-R-E-V-I-S, who had unprotected sex without telling his female partners that he was HIV positive. And, of course, he's on charge for that and possibly facing the same kind of 15-year sentence that this other gentleman in Surrey ended up with. And, of course, we are raising very serious questions about this situation, HIV positive. We know that about 85 different conditions that a person could be exposed to, and least of all pregnancy, if you happen to be a woman, you can test HIV positive. And we also know a few other things about these tests, that the disclaimers on the manufacturer's literature that comes with these tests certainly gives rise to some very serious questions that nobody seems to be coming up with any answers. And so it gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest today. She's on the line from Wichita, Kansas, Kim Marie Bannon. Good afternoon, Kim Marie.
Hello, Cross.
Well, welcome to the show. And you can start off by just telling us your story.
It was 1992. I was solicited to take an HIV test. I felt like if I said no, I must be hiding something. Either I was promiscuous or doing some illicit drugs or something. So I felt compelled to say yes, even though I didn't have any fears of the test coming back positive. But the test did come back positive, and so close to 15 years later, I still have to live as though I have HIV, even though I've been perfectly healthy the entire time.
And
never take any AIDS medicines. I would never take any AIDS medicines.
You've seen what they've done to other people?
I've read about it. I haven't personally. Well, actually, I have seen one person, yeah, that's nearly dead. He's been taking the AIDS drugs for 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm. You, of course, were not a person who would be under any terms to be considered at risk for contracting HIV that would make you HIV positive. First of all, Kimberly, I'd like to point out that I don't buy into this whole HIV/AIDS hypothesis because, number one, they have yet to come across a virus. Secondly, because there is no virus, there is no vaccine, and capping all of that is therefore no Nobel Prize. And other than there should be a Nobel Prize for stupidity, I don't think that I would qualify just by questioning this whole issue, but I certainly think that there are a few people out there who have received awards for their work and in this area that maybe they should be given a prize for stupidity. But so you were, well, let's first of all, I'm going to ask you, what is HIV in your opinion?
Well, from what I can tell, it's not really been isolated or found or identified. So as far as I can tell, HIV doesn't exist. I should add that I lived with my diagnosis of HIV for 10 years before I found out there was any question. And quite by accident, I found out in 2002 that there were a large number of scientists and doctors questioning the validity of the HIV equals AIDS hypothesis. Many of those doctors are credentialed, do have Nobel Prizes, and among saying HIV has not been isolated and found, they say that the tests don't work. And there's a number of journalists behind the research that you referred to earlier that shows any number of things that are quite common things can cause a false positive test on the false positive on the HIV test. So I'm quite sure that my test was a false positive. I can't prove that, but I don't think anyone can prove that I do have something called HIV, which has never been found.
And you don't have AIDS.
No, I don't have AIDS.
And
no,
you're in very good health in spite of all the trauma, including an attempt on your life that you can tell us about. It's a very, very intriguing story that you've gone through here.
Well, I've had a lot of stress. So it changed my life. The diagnosis of HIV changed my life, and I made a lot of decisions that caused trauma in my life, yes, but the same decisions also kept me alive because I never fully grasped that I could possibly have the HIV, even though I lived with it and made all of my life decisions based on the fact that I did have that. And I still do, by the way, even though now I have no fear of a Pac-Man virus running around in my veins and arteries gobbling up T cells. I mean, I'm quite sure that hasn't happened. The stress of living with this diagnosis is huge. Probably the quite the obvious one is since it's thought to be sexually transmitted in the public. Behind your backs, just to your listeners, behind your backs, the mainstream scientists are saying, wow, we can't prove this is sexually transmitted. Just like Croft said in the package inserts, the test kit manufacturers are saying, hey, we don't think this test really works. So that's what they're saying behind your backs.
And of course,
they're telling you that to your face. And they're using it to extort billions. I think it's $300 billion now. I could be corrected on that we've spent in this fight against AIDS. And there's been nothing found. I mean, the virus itself has not even been found. There's been no effective treatment. There's been no vaccine. And we're really nowhere after spending that much money. And the reason why is because the hypothesis is flawed. There is such a thing as an immune deficiency that people can come up with during their lifetimes for any number of reasons. And that probably would bear study. How do we support the immune system? How do we keep it healthy? Those are things that I searched out on my own. No doctor's ever given me, you know, any information like that. No AIDS doctor, I should say. There are doctors that I've met. I've done quite a lot of touring around the country and met doctors and scientists on both sides of the equation, actually. So not to belittle what people go through once they have this diagnosis or if they do get an immune deficiency syndrome, because the original risk groups were gay men and impoverished people, and the gay men were living a life of drugs and promiscuous sex, and the people in poverty were exposed to all kinds of, you know, malnutrition for one thing. I mean, they didn't have any food. That's going to hurt your immune system. And so these are stressed out people, and from my research, and nobody disagrees with this. I mean, this is one thing that's agreed on by the people that say there is HIV and it causes AIDS, and the people that say there isn't HIV and how could it cause AIDS if it doesn't exist. All of these people all agree that stress is going to harm your immune system.
Yes.
And you give someone a diagnosis, tell them they have a sexually transmittable lethal virus. I mean, you pretty much screw up their life. I mean, all your goals, all your plans, everything is out the window now. So you make decisions based on, wow, all of my first choices are gone now.
Now, when you took these tests,
when you wear, it affects who you hang out with. It affects what you can do for a living. All these things are not supposed to happen. Of course not. We have a non-prejudicial society, and you know we would never hold this against people. But they do. I mean, it's a fact.
Well, Kim Marie, you were about 28 years old, a very successful 29-year-old successful businesswoman, in good health, and here you are. You are persuaded to take this HIV test. Did they tell you what was in the manufacturer's disclaimer that always comes with these sort of things?
No, but it's wrong to say it always comes with these sort of things. Nobody ever sees that. The doctors don't even see it. When I confronted my own doctor with it, she had obviously not seen it. These package inserts are thrown away by a lab technician somewhere. In fact, if you get a hold of them, you can see right on there that it says 24 tests included or something like that. I mean, they put one package insert in a whole box of tests, and it gets thrown away by the lab technician who just puts the blood and puts the test kit. It puts it all into a machine that runs the test. He doesn't even read the directions. I mean, it's just all automated. There's nobody looks at these package inserts.
And yet,
nobody realizes that they don't work.
They don't. Yeah, and the point that I'm driving at is that because it is a test, it is a diagnostic procedure. You are entitled, you know, under your rights as a human being, to know what this test is all about and what is the manufacturer's position on it. Not much different than if you decide that you're going to accept a vaccine. You want to know what is in the vaccine before you are injected with it. You want to know if you're undergoing chemotherapy or going to undergo chemotherapy, say for cancer. It would seem to me that the medical profession, the cancer treatment crew, is obligated to say, well, you're going to have this kind of a side effect, this is not a cure for your particular cancer, but we might be able to control it. They don't even tell you that then.
No, they don't. They don't tell you most of the information about most of the things that happen in medicine. This isn't isolated to HIV. I mean, people will take a pill that their doctor tells them to take because the doctor says, well, this is what is accepted standard medical practice, that if you have X disease, we give you Y pill for it. And people are just, they're insane for doing that. I mean, if they just would look at the information, and yeah, you're right, they are entitled to that information, but most people don't even want to know about that. They're so consumed with fear of knowledge of their own bodies that they just hand it over to someone called an expert and let the doctor tell them what to do. And a lot of this is just pure laziness. All this information is available on the internet. I don't care what your disease is, whether it's HIV, AIDS, cancer, heart disease. You know, those are the big ones. Yeah, but there's also MS. All of these things have nutritional causes. And it's all online. It's all there. There's no excuse for anybody being ignorant anymore and just swallowing the pills that the doctor gives them. The whole country is set up to make money for pharmaceutical companies. I mean, I don't know how many people realize this, but this whole Social Security system and Medicare and Medicaid is in trouble because we're spending too much money on giving drugs to our senior citizens. I mean, they're entitled to that. They paid for Social Security, and they want their drugs now. But Medicare is what's making us go bankrupt, and all that money is going straight from our pockets into the pockets of the pharmaceutical companies and the rest of medicine. And it's all a bunch of crap. They don't know what they're doing. If anybody would pay attention to their lives, quit drinking beer, quit shoveling in the hamburgers, and, you know, go see Super Size Me. You know, it's disgusting the way we treat our bodies. And then we think we can just go to the doctor and take a pill and oh, I'm entitled to it because I'm old and I paid my taxes and my Social Security payments. I mean, that's ridiculous. If you want to live and be healthy, stay away from the doctor and take care of your body. Eat some fruits and vegetables and drink a lot of water and get some fresh air and pray. And you're going to be fine. And you don't need to take any pills. If you take pills, you're killing yourself. And that's the bottom line. That's all HIV is about, is selling fear, selling pills, selling genocide. And it's your tax money that's going in. If you think HIV doesn't affect you, you're wrong.
My guest is Kim Marie Bannon. She's on the line from Wichita, Kansas. Here is a lady way back in 1992 was persuaded to take an HIV test and tested positive. And from then on, everything went wrong, except her health was sailing along as it should. And we've got to take a little bit of a station check here. You're listening to Dynamic Health at CFRO-FM at 102.7 megahertz on the FM band. This is Co-op Radio for the Greater Vancouver, Vancouver Island. The cable vision, of course, access through for the people at the Central Interior and the Okanagan Valley. They also can tune in to this station and get this sort of information that you're not really going to find in mainstream media. Kim Marie, what is a viral load test? What is it exactly?
It just measures cellular debris that happens to be floating around in your blood. What it is a duplication test. You can think of it as a Xerox machine, so it finds something in your blood and it makes a bunch of copies of it. And that's been really helpful to study like genes, something very small and they don't have a lot of them, so they can make copies of it and study them. But in HIV, they are trying to say that we're saying that something that we've multiplied 30 times possibly from the original sample and saying this is how much of it's in your body. I mean, that's crazy. You shouldn't use a duplication method for quantification of something. Why would you do that? And Carrie Mullis won the Nobel Prize for inventing the PCR technology, which stands for polymerase chain reaction. Carrie Mullis says it's a total misapplication of his technology, and he won the Nobel Prize for that.
Well, for the test, but he didn't get the Nobel Prize for all the mistakes that are being made because the test is being misused.
No, for the development of something called the polymerase chain reaction, which enables you to make lots of copies of something very small, so you'll have more material to study.
Yeah.
He said this is supposed to be used for quantification of anything.
And so it's not as precise as we might think it is in terms of looking for a virus that does not exist. So looking at what they do with this test, they go through many, many reductions, it would seem. It seems to me like it's a statistician who's trying to manipulate figures until he gets the answer that he wants rather than what maybe we should know.
The viral load test says, this is a quote from the package insert, it says, "This test is not to be used for the diagnosis or the confirmation of the diagnosis of HIV."
So there you are.
Paragraph, that's the exact quote that's on the package insert of all viral load tests. In fact, if you go and ask for a viral load test when you don't have a positive antibody test, they won't even give it to you because too many people come up with a viral load that are HIV negative.
Well, this is so contradictory, and yet we have our public health officers, we have politicians, we have scientists buying into this whole business, and yet the question is, what is going on here? What's the agenda?
You know, there's conspiracy theorists, and I don't want to say I'm one of those. I don't even like to be called a dissident. I don't like to be associated with the dissidents or the rethinkers. I'm not here as that person. I'm here as a person who has a really screwed up life because of this diagnosis. All of my dreams, everything I wanted is gone. Now I'm close to 44. I have no children. I've suffered through an excruciatingly painful marriage that I never should have been in.
Well, there was
never
an attempt.
Without this positive HIV diagnosis. I have no children. I can't have children because if I do, they will force me to be on the toxic chemotherapies that they call AIDS medicines that cause fetal deformities and actually could kill your baby. I mean, we won't let a woman's not supposed to have a beer when she's pregnant, but we're going to put her on toxic medications that are known to cause cells to not be able to replicate and for cells to just flat die and say that those are good for her fetus. That makes no sense at all. I'd also be forced to have a C-section, which, read all about that. It's one of the most unneeded surgeries performed in the Western world, but needless to say, they think that this baby that's been inside its mother for 9 to 10 months sharing all of the bodily fluids is going to now somehow catch HIV by going through the birth canal from the mother. I mean, that's insane. And you're not allowed to breastfeed. In fact, a woman just now came up with, lost her child. They took her child away from her before she ever got home from the hospital because she was HIV positive, which, as you've already mentioned, pregnancy can cause you to read a false positive on the test. Now, how they tell which ones are the false positives, which ones are the real positives, you know, I don't know. I have not been able to find that in all of my research, how they actually figure that out, except by risk factors. So as far as I can tell by all rights, I mean, somebody should have just told me that I had a false positive, but, you know, my doctor was greedy, I guess. But this woman now just recently had a baby. She was taking the AIDS drugs for a while, but as she read up on those, she was saying, hey, these are going to hurt my baby. I'm going to stop taking these AIDS medicines. So she did. She had a C-section like they prescribed her to do, and the nurse came into her room afterwards, and she's breastfeeding her baby. And they said, you can't breastfeed your baby. And she says, well, I intend to breastfeed my baby. So they took the baby away and put it in foster care.
And probably on HIV medications, like AZT or nevirapine.
Oh, I did not indicate whether the baby was HIV positive or HIV negative. So I don't know whether it will be given the drugs. But it is also known that babies do inherit their mother's antibodies. And many times those antibodies are gone after approximately 18 months. So unless they test the baby repeatedly for at least up to 18 months, even if it was positive at birth, there's a chance that it's going to end up coming negative any time. And if the mother has some other antibody that's causing her false positive, then the baby could get that antibody and have a false positive. I mean, the tests are the bottom line in the whole shenanigans of this whole farce. And if we could just get public knowledge, widespread public knowledge, that these tests just flat do not work, maybe something could be done about it. But like I said, people are still convinced, because this isn't happening in their neighborhood, that this is the scourge of IV drug users and gay men. And I'm sorry to say, but the wealthy or middle class white Westerners really don't even care much about Africans. So most of the people who, if they just realized what their tax money was going for, that they're paying for this, maybe, and that's why I keep liking to stress that. Look, it does affect you. I mean, this is money that could be used for all kinds of improvements that we need. on this planet, and we're throwing it after a fake disease. It's crazy. And it's not just HIV. I mean, we're throwing so much money into medicine because we're all afraid to die. You know, it's like, okay, just give me a pill to prolong my life one more week. And I'll take it, you know. That's the mindset of people, and they think that HIV is not their disease. It's the gay men, it's IV drug users, and they're happy to throw their tax money on that disease so they don't have to look at it, to ease their conscience that they're not looking at it. They're just, oh, these are just the low lives of the planet that get this disease, not me. No one in my neighborhood has it, so they just throw their money on it to ease their conscience and not have to look at it.
Well, we have just 2 weeks ago concluded a international conference on AIDS in Toronto. And one of the things that came out of it was that every pregnant woman in Africa should be tested for HIV. Sounds like a recipe for genocide.
Well, that's what they've been doing in Africa for a long time, is testing the pregnant women, because
they want to make it mandatory, though. Mandatory.
Well, it's mandatory in prisons now. It's mandatory, believe it or not, right here in the state of Kansas, for pregnant women to have an HIV test.
And what about Colorado?
I don't know about Colorado, but there is a website called statehealthfacts.org where you can find out all that information about the United States, at least.
Oh, by the way, the co-chair of this international aid conference that concluded 2 weeks ago in Toronto, Dr. Mark Weinberg, he is a medical doctor, and he's the AIDS chairman at McGill University. And he says that anyone like you and yours truly and others who dispute this HIV/AIDS hypothesis should be put in jail, because we are putting all these people at risk for death because we're dissuading them from their AIDS medications.
I'm familiar with some of the other things that Mark Weinberg has mouthed off about, yeah. You should know that he's heavily invested in AIDS medicines, pharmaceuticals.
Conflict of interest. And it's funny, they never mentioned that in the media coverage of this whole conference, that we've got people in this whole affair who have conflicts of interest, heavily invested in AIDS medications. Isn't that wonderful? And, of course, Robert Gallo was, I guess, the one who set the pace, right?
He patented the test, the first HIV test, on the same day that he announced at a public press conference with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Margaret Heckler, that he had found the probable cause of AIDS. That was the same day he patented the test.
Very convenient. And, of course, the thing is that somebody nominated him for a Nobel Prize. So did the same thing for Luc Montagnier, who claimed that he had done something similar. In fact, it was said that Mr. Gallo had actually stolen from Mr. Montagnier, or Monsieur Montagnier. And it sounds like a good company here.
That actually was proven by a Senate investigation that went on for 10 years. It's known as the Dingell Report. It concluded in 1995, but half of the patent rights were given to the French. It took the involvement of President Reagan and the French Premier Chirac to settle this dispute. I mean, there was nearly a war. I'm not joking. And in 10 years, I mean, if you go on virusmyth.net, you can look at Gallo, Dingell, the Dingell Report, D-I-N-G-A-L-L, and you can read the entire report, but just read the executive summary. I mean, Gallo was found guilty of scientific fraud, but somehow in all of this investigation, they just focused on the fact that he had stolen the virus from Luc Montagnier, the French scientist, and they just forgot to look at the fact that, hey, there really wasn't anything to this hypothesis in the first place that HIV causes AIDS. Gallo had been studying retroviruses and blaming them on different types of leukemia, other things, and every single time he would say, oh, this retrovirus is the cause of this disease, he would be disproven. So when he came to HIV, rather than publishing his findings so they could be corroborated by other scientists and other laboratories, he just announced it at a press conference. It had never been corroborated anywhere, and it still hasn't been corroborated. I've looked everywhere. Believe me, this was my life. I wanted the test to show, yes, I have it, or no, I don't. There was no test. And so I kept looking. I mean, for 3 years, I was completely obsessed with searching this science, and I studied it. I read the scientific papers. I read those original papers that... Finally, Gallo did publish three papers after his press conference, and there's no evidence there. Those were all investigated by the congressional committee that found him guilty of scientific fraud. I mean, there's no evidence there for his hypothesis.
My guest is Kim Marie Bennen, a charming lady, beautiful picture that I saw on her website. And Kim Marie, I'm going to ask you to give us your website. But first of all, I just wanted to let everybody know that they are listening to Dynamic Health here on CFRO-FM at 102.7 megahertz in Vancouver. I'm Croft Woodruff, your presenter. And, of course, Kim Marie, you found yourself in a situation where you felt you had to launch a lawsuit against the two companies that were involved or responsible for these test kits.
The two that I was given. There's
yes.
Over 30 companies actually that make HIV tests.
How many did you say?
There are over 30. Last time I checked, there was 36, but I think there's a couple more now.
Everybody's getting on the bandwagon.
Not 36 companies, but 36 tests.
36 tests, okay.
They're either ELISA's, Western blots, or viral load tests. Yeah.
And so you went to court over this.
Well, actually, I didn't make it through court. I had three different lawyers, and I'm barred from talking about what the lawyers did. But to sum it up, basically, they were afraid. And my background is in the legal profession, and I know literally hundreds of lawyers. Many of them were my best friends in the world. And they basically just said, it's too big, you can't do it.
Well, there you are. And of course, that you're barred from speaking about it in Kansas or in the United States, but what about speaking about it in Canada?
I could get sued by the attorneys that did represent me if I was to tell what they actually did.
Even if you didn't mention them by name?
I'm not going there, Cross.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want you to put yourself in any kind of legal jeopardy. But that certainly gives many of us who are aware of this whole fraud and those who are listening to this program a good idea of what is involved here. Certainly when we look at what happened with one man getting 15 years in prison for, as I mentioned at the outset, having unprotected sex with several women without telling them that he was HIV positive. And even though it came out in the court proceedings that not all of these women became HIV positive, which certainly would give rise to the question that it would seem that that it's not necessarily evident that HIV can be transmitted through sexual intercourse.
There's no evidence that HIV can be transmitted through sexual intercourse. And in fact, all of the studies show exactly the contrary. There was a study called the Padian study that went on for 10 years. Over 300 couples that were what they called discordant, which means one of them has HIV and the other one didn't. There was about 350 couples in that study. Like I said, it went on for 10 years, and not one of them gave it to their partner.
And it's amazing. You would think that the lawyers would have done a little bit of digging to come up with that particular information. The other thing that also amazes me, that the fact alone that not all of this man's sex partners became HIV positive, or were not HIV, that he couldn't see that. Well, there is an anomaly here, a contradiction, because
well, explain that to you. If I was the lawyer representing my client who was brought up on criminal charges of transmitting HIV, I would not use this, well, HIV is not sexually transmitted, as a defense, because for the simple fact that if someone brought those charges against me, and I've done the study, and I know before I have sex with someone that it can't be sexually transmitted, and that the studies show that, then that could be a defense for me, because intent, this is not going to be brought out in the criminal cases. It's going to have to be a civil case.
Yeah.
Unless you can get a criminal who says, no, I didn't bother to tell anyone that I had tested HIV positive because I knew the test didn't work. And I knew that HIV could not be passed sexually from one person to another. If someone had that, then they could say, no, and I had no intent to just defraud this person because I knew that it couldn't be transmitted that way. But unless someone already has that knowledge, their intent was to have sex with someone and not tell them about it. Mm-hmm. And if that's the crime that they're charged with, then they're probably guilty. If they're charged with attempted murder, I think that's a stretch, and I think that they could be acquitted of that. But if the laws, you know, and there's so many laws. I mean, there's laws in every country, every state, even municipal laws. Cities can enact laws. So it's hard to know what the person is being charged with. There's really no uniform, like, okay, here's the strategy to defend someone on a criminal case. It's going to have to be case by case basis. And if I was a lawyer representing someone, you know what I would advise my client to say? I would say, tell them I told this person that I had HIV and they wanted to have sex with me anyway. And that would be my defense.
Yeah. What about the judge who should be able to see these contradictions?
Well, it's not always a judge, it's a jury. And you got to convince a jury. And that is part of what, like I said, you know, I talked with somewhere around 100 lawyers. These are my friends. And they're like, you know, and I've been around the court system long enough to know that the idea that we have an impartial tribunal in the justice systems in the United States and probably in Canada or anywhere in the world is just a fiction. The courts are not impartial. I mean, that's crazy. They're not. They're political.
Mm-hmm.
And juries are opinionated. And juries right now believe that HIV causes AIDS and that if you are out having sex with someone, you shouldn't, first of all, they believe you shouldn't even be having sex, but if you are, you definitely owe it to that person to tell them and to use condoms and take all these precautions, and that's what juries believe. So you've got to convince a jury. And until we can spread, you know, this is why I'm not personally going to pursue any legal recourse at the moment until we can get more of this. We need to get people to care about it. I mean, AIDS has lost its glamour. People in the West do not care about AIDS. You could put up little banner logos on every website in the world and say, here, click here to find out about AIDS, where someone could go and find out all this stuff that I'm telling you here. And no one would click it.
Yeah. The information overload. You have a situation where various activists like AIDS ACT UP or there's another one in Africa, and they're attacking, for instance, the President Mbeki of South Africa and his health minister because he happened to mention garlic and lemon juice. And
right.
And of course, there's a fundamental reason for mentioning garlic and lemon juice because it has to do with nutrition.
Well, right, and that works. And if you go to my website, there's a link there called Power to the People, and you can order a DVD from Tyne Vandermoss, who went to Africa with their own money and treated people. I mean, you will see, if you order that video, you will see people brought to this woman in wheelbarrows because they cannot walk. And you will see them taking vitamins, beetroot, lemons, garlic, just like she tells them. She has to not only get the nutrition in their body, she has to break this taboo that they've been placed under you know, and get them believing that they're going to live again, which is very, very hard. I mean, that right there is enough to kill you.
Okay, now, this lady's name again is?
It's Tyne Vandermosse.
How do you spell the first name?
Power to the People. My website is kimbannon.com. That's K-I-M, B as in boy, A-N-N-O-N, kimbannon.com. And on my links page, you can link to all this stuff. All this stuff is there. But if you order Tyne's video, I mean, you're going to see this guy that was in the wheelbarrow, he's up dancing, in, you know, a few weeks later.
And this is a DVD, and it's, what's the price in American?
I think it's about $10.
I think it sounds like a worthwhile investment. Kimmery, so here we have one person that is obviously successfully treating the most hopeless of hopeless cases, and yet it's not exactly front page news in the New York Times, or the Washington Post, or say the Vancouver Sun, or the Globe and Mail here in Canada. So, what about you've heard of Matthias Rath by any chance?
Yes.
And I understand that he's had success treating AIDS nutritionally.
Yes.
And we've also got a geographer, a PhD in geography here in University of Victoria on Vancouver Island, who claims that people have been successfully treated through nutritional supplements, and he's attributing some of the problem in Africa is basically malnutrition, lack of selenium in the food chain, and other certain nutrients, vitamin C, zinc, all very important for immune function, and soils can be deficient in the factors that allow plants to develop rich quantities of these nutritional factors.
Yeah, that's right. You mentioned selenium, and a good way to get selenium is Brazil nuts. I might throw that out there. Besides the beetroot, the garlic, the lemons, eat some Brazil nuts.
And, of course, all nuts and seeds are rich in the mineral zinc, which is fundamental to immune system. As a matter of fact, over 100 studies have demonstrated that zinc is antiviral and important for immune function.
They say that about colloidal silver too, although mm-hmm. I hear you shouldn't take those two together.
Who knows?
This is the important thing that I'm trying to stress to everyone. Even if you're not even if you don't think you're immune deficient, and none of this is treating HIV, by the way. It's treating immune deficiency. That's what we're talking about here, not HIV. HIV and AIDS are totally different things. But if you are immune deficient, you know, you can boost your immune system with proper nutrition and also anti-stress. That's what is so hard when you have a diagnosis from a doctor. You know, I'm studying naturopathy right now because since 1992, I've been studying it on my own, and I finally decided, well, I might as well do this through a college so I can get some initials after my name, and then I'll be an authority too. But, you know, the biggest...
Well, are you there? Rats. Phone her back and apologize. Well, while we're waiting to get in contact, we had a little accident on the phone board here, and we'll try to get back to Kimmery Bannon. If you've got the website, John, line. Okay, am I on air?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. A little bit of technical difficulties here, and we're trying to recontact with Kimmery Bannon. She was on the line from Wichita, Kansas. Quite a story, and she is quite a strong lady to have gone through what she's gone through. It's quite a story. You can go to her website, and I believe that's it's Kimmery Bannon. That's BANNON.com. And you can get the whole story there. We will reconfirm her website as soon as we get back to her. But this is one of the things that can happen in radio. So, anyhow, what we've been saying all along for the last several weeks that we've been talking about the whole business of HIV and AIDS is that there is no virus. That's why there is no vaccine, and that's why there's been no Nobel Prize. And it's simply because all of the king's horses and all the king's men really can't put this back together because they're all running off in the wrong direction and looking for something that isn't there. And what they need to be looking for are the fundamentals of nutrition, proper sanitary conditions, and so on.
Sorry, something happened there, but we'll put you back on it. No, it's my fault. I did something wrong. Here we go.
Hi, Kim Marie. I apologize for what happened there. It was an accident on our phone board. Are you there? I can't hear her, John. Are you there, Kim Marie?
Yes.
Sorry about that. We're having a little technical difficulty.
No problem.
My apologies. But I want you to give out your website again, please.
It's KimBannon.com. It's K-I-M, B as in boy, A-N-N-O-N, .com.
Right. And from that website, you can link to other websites that will give people who want to know what's really going on and get the information. By the way, there is a very good book out that... I've been aware for some time. It's in the Health Action Network's library for anybody who is a Health Action member. I believe they can have access to it. They can order it. It's called The Truth About HIV. Kim Marie is mentioned in this book. And the author is Philip Day and Steve Ransom. And they're going to have to go to Credence Publications and... I think through your website they can get the book too, right? Or through a link, Kim Marie?
No, you need to go to credence.org.
Yeah, credence.org. That's
right.
How you can order this book, and it's really a blockbuster. They really go into the details, and anybody who goes through this book will know that HIV AIDS is nothing but a racket. There are people who are being treated for something they haven't got. These are people who were healthy until they went on these medications, and it's destroying their immune system. All you have to do is read the label on these antiretroviral drugs, these antineoplastin drugs, and it says, like AZT, a bone marrow suppressant. Well, that's going to suppress the immune system because bone marrow is one of the fundamentals of our immune system, not only producing the red blood cells, but also white cells as well. And of course, it tells you don't get this stuff on your skin. You got to wear protective clothing. You got to wear a mask. You got to keep it at 0 degrees centigrade, or Celsius, pardon me, I'm showing my age. The fact is that who would want to fool around with something like that and have it put into their body, especially if they have no symptoms of any illness? It just doesn't make any sense. But dollar and cents for the manufacturer of the drug, and they also have disclaimers on the labels of these types of drugs that's not a cure for AIDS.
That's right. There is no cure for AIDS.
You know, the UN says that, I guess UNAIDS says, 650,000 children will be born with HIV positive, or be born HIV positive this year. That sounds like a tremendous potential for the manufacture of these anti-HIV drugs.
Yes, those are computer models and extrapolations, and the numbers have actually been being revised down for the last about 3 years. And they blame it on their computer models, and they say, oh, we have better models now. We have better models than we did before, and that other model wasn't as good. Or they say, like I mentioned earlier, that they test the pregnant women in Africa who have a higher incidence of false positive tests, and then, boom, they extrapolate that to the entire population. And now that more people are getting tested, they're starting to say that, oh, well, we're finding out now that not as many people are positive as we thought that they were, and they're changing all these numbers, but it never trickles down. It never gets out into the public. I mean, there's been, you know, the numbers are the same. There's been 40 million HIV positive, and every year they keep saying, we've hit 40 million, and they've been saying that for 10 years or something.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it's like real statistical manipulation. You fiddle around with these figures until you get a figure that you want. It reminds me the annual flu epidemic that is supposed to be hitting the United States in this case. And they say something like 22 million U.S. citizens go into hospital emergency rooms or doctor's offices with flu-like symptoms. And out of that, the government says that there are about 33,000 deaths. But then when you dig in a little deeper, you find that it's more like, on an average year, about 750 deaths from the flu. But one thing all this hype does is scare people into accepting a vaccine that doesn't prevent it anyways.
That's right. I mean, all vaccines are very dangerous, and you also need to consider that a lot of people will be claimed to have died from the flu when what they really died to was some type of anaphylactic shock reaction to the medicine they were given.
Right.
Iatrogenesis is, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, the third leading killer. It's ahead of AIDS, by the way, in the Western world. It's the third leading killer in the Western world behind cancer and heart disease. And this is just the known accident. Iatrogenesis means doctor-induced or medicine-induced. It means the doctor killed these people.
Death by medicine.
Died if they hadn't gone to the doctor. So that's the reason that they died. And this is only... this is only considering like the accidents and stuff, not the people that die of properly prescribed and properly taken medications. So if you look, this is just the third leading killer according to the Journal of the American Medical Association. If you go to some alternative researchers, I mean, they come up with it's the number one killer.
Yeah, it's a work by Dr. Carolyn Dean. Death by Medicine is a perfectly good example.
Right.
Well, you know, by the way, we should point out that Continuum magazine has offered, first of all, it was about, was it £10,000 reward, that's British pound sterling, if anybody could come up with an HIV or a virus that causes AIDS. I understand it's now reward is now £100,000 if anybody can come up with the virus, and that has yet to, nobody's been able to claim it yet, not even Peter Duisberg.
Right.
And of course, I've had people say, well, I saw a picture of it, in a newspaper. The Daily Telegraph published a picture of the AIDS virus. And of course, I guess they failed to note that what they saw was a computerized model of what some artists would feel that it would look like. In other words, a figment of somebody's imagination.
That's usually what you're seeing when you see something that says it's a picture of HIV. There's a scientist named Eddie Andy Harvin who was actually up there in Toronto. For most of his career, he also worked at Sloan Kettering, and he's now retired back in France, and he's the pioneer of electron microscopy, and he says that HIV has never been seen, found, or photographed, and that the photographs that someone like Bob Gallo will say, "Here, yes, it has been, here's a picture of it," he says, uh-uh. And the pictures that I've seen that are actual EM photographs, where they're pictures taken through the electron microscope, so you can see these tiny, tiny particles. The ones that I've seen of other viruses, the tissue, the sample, the slide is completely full of objects that all look exactly alike. I mean, this is a tissue that is infected, and it's full of virus. When I see one of HIV, you'll see a couple of little specks. And it's all, like, what Eddie Andy Harvin would say is that this is just a picture of cellular debris. It's just a bunch of junk in the picture. No two pieces look alike. And there'll be a couple of little specks there that they'll point to and say, oh, this is the virus and this is the virus. But they don't look anything like those computer models that you see on the news magazines, and they don't look anything like the other things in the field, and they don't even look like things that are in other pictures taken from other specimens. They don't look like anything.
And how is it that people like Gallo and Weinberg and others can get away with this?
Well, the media is largely responsible.
Research.
Gallo made his press conference, and the media ran with that, and the public was afraid. We were all afraid of this disease, and, you know, we were all mad at the gay men. They spread it. They caused it. We were all mad at them, and we wanted something to protect us from it. And we're so sold on pills, taking pills, so we're like, give us a pill, give us a pill. And that led to what they call fast-track approval of these medicines, not just AIDS medicines, but other medicines. You know, there is one AIDS medicine, I can't remember which one it is, that's on the market that was studied for a total of 4 months. 4 months for a medicine that has lethal side effects that a person is supposed to take for the rest of their life. And that's all they studied it before they approved it. The longest one was only studied for 10 months before it was approved. And this set the pattern for all these other medicines that are getting approved very quickly now. I'm hoping that people will, that this will kind of filter over into the AIDS department, because nobody cares about AIDS, but they're starting to see with the Vioxx cases and some other drugs being pulled off the market, maybe it'll filter over into the AIDS medicines as well, as people are starting to wake up and realizing that, you know, these medicines are not really, they're not really making us well.
And you've mentioned it before, but I think it bears repeating, what can people do?
That have immune deficiency or...
No, just, you know, you've got to protect yourself from all this fear-mongering,
yeah.
All this propaganda that's coming at us, and particularly from our research challenge media that is not asking the questions that should be asked.
Well, this information is on the Internet. Go online and find out for yourself. Read The Truth About HIV by Philip Day. It's available at credence.org. I have a list of over 60 books that have been written about this whole thing, that all disproved that HIV equals AIDS. There's over 60 books on a list I have. I mean, you can get your hands on this information, but stop turning, you know, we have the industrial age and we have these different ages. I call this the reign of the experts. Everybody is just so willing to hand their power over to an expert.
Well, you know the definition of an expert.
Studies more and more about less and less until pretty soon they know everything about nothing.
Well, that's one definition. The other one is an ex is a has-been, and a spurt is to drip under pressure.
Okay.
And that's what we're settled with.
Take your back. Take your body from these drips under pressure.
Kimmery.
Say, I want to feel good, you know, and start noticing what you put in your body and how you feel after you do it. I mean, if you gobble down a whole large pizza, how do you feel? If you eat a salad, how do you feel? And start, you know, start having proper eliminations. Put things into your body that digest quickly, which is fruits, vegetables, raw if you can, and the nuts we talked about. We're cramming our bodies full of toxins, and there's enough of them out there that you can't avoid without doing that on purpose.
Kimmery, I have to say, if we've got to make an end of this, we've run out of time. That's our opening and closing music. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us and share your views and your experience in this whole issue of HIV testing positive, when in fact it has to be something. In fact, my comment is that what we're looking at, Kimmery, it's not science, it's something else, and it certainly has a big dollar sign all around it. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kraft. Bye.
Bye-bye. And again, kimbannon.com is Kimmery's website if you wish to follow her advice and check the links and get yourself educated, because you're not going to read it in your local daily newspaper, whether it's national or otherwise.
And we're going to post this on our website, Kraft, which is animalvoices.org, and go to past programs, and to the right of the screen, you will see this program posted in about an hour.
And that's my producer, John...
Pranger.
John Pranger, I know that. And of course, thanks to Blackie, my researcher. And thank you all for listening. This is Croft Woodruff signing off. Until next Wednesday at 1 o'clock for more on Dynamic Health.